Blog Talk Radio.
From the D.C. Baltimore area. I want you guys to sit back and relax. I have today a special guest, not just any kind of guest, but this person is someone who's been influential in my life, has been a good friend for the past couple of years. That's Bishop Eddie Arthur Sloan Sr., author of I Wish I Were My Father's Son. And after this next song, I'm going to bring him here live, and we're going to talk about his book and talk about the different things that God is doing in his life. So sit back and relax. The number here is 646-595-4311. I'm going to play this song from one of the legendary Clark sisters, and I believe that this speaks volumes to where we are and where he, Bishop Sloan, is in his life. This is Jackie Clark Chisholm with My Season.
Bye.
Hope you guys are enjoying yourselves. I have with me none other than Bishop Extraordinary Eddie Arthur Sloan Sr.
All right.
This is definitely your season.
Amen. Bless the name of the Lord. Amen, Brother Wright. Thank you so much for that marvelous introduction. Thank you so kindly for inviting me tonight. Thank you so very much.
You know, you're always welcome here. You know, it's been a while since you've actually been on the show. What's been going on?
Well, I took some time off. Actually, you know, I'm going to tell you, I didn't take any time off. That was the wrong way to start that off. God gave me some time off.
Right.
Some time to myself, some time to collect myself. There are times in our lives when we are so busy doing everything that we think we should do. You heard what I said when I said doing everything that we think that we should be doing, that we forget about what God wants us to do. And so I was so busy trying to build churches, trying to set up fellowships and all of these other things that I wanted to do that I forgot what God wanted me to do. And God promptly and very kindly put me in my place and put me in a situation where he could deal with me and build me up and work with me so that I'm doing the things that he predestined for my life. And one of those things was to finish writing this book that I have been writing for the last 8 years.
Wow. You know, I remember when you were saying that God was going to do that and you took some time off and you really took time off. You're like, where did he go? when you emerged as this author of a great book. You know, can you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. This book is really about relationship. The book is called I Wish I Were My Father's Son. And that could be purchased at createspace.com or amazon.com. But the book is about relationship. It's about forgiveness, and it's about love. It's about the stripping down of your life before people. This, and I say that in a way that I want people to understand that in writing this book, it's not just about my father and me, even though I'm writing about us. It's about allowing the things that have accrued on your life into your life to be stripped down to the point that you are laid bare in order for God to allow you to see what's inside you, to allow you to see what you've been through, to allow you to see what he's delivered you from, to allow you to see that without forgiveness in your life, you can't make this thing. You can't make it with the Lord if you don't forgive. The Lord told me before I even started to write this book, before you start writing, first things first, that is you have to forgive your father and you have to forgive others for the things that they've done to you. If you do not do that, son, I cannot forgive you. And so in the meantime, all of the churches that I was building and all the fellowships that I was doing, all stripped away, bare stripped. And we as preachers sometimes, when we gather all these things to ourselves and we do all of these different kinds of things, we think that that makes us successful. But I have found in the writing of this book and the stripping away of the things that I thought meant so much to me has really blessed me. And like the word you used earlier in the conversation, as you emerge, you really do emerge as a new creature. You emerge with a new sense of purpose, a brand new due diligence in the things of God.
Wow. Wow, you know, I have to say that's amazing. So as you took this, I mean, how about even in taking this time to really go in depth and search your soul and start writing this book, did you have any fear as far as what God was going to reveal to you in this book or what he wanted you to share?
Most certainly I did. I will tell you right now that I was terrified to write this book. I was afraid that if I shared what I shared in the writing of this book, that I'd be ostracized and I'd be, my family would be upset, and you know, there's things in here that I never even shared even with my wife, and so I had to write those things because the Lord forewarned me, and He said, if you are going to write this book, then you are going to have to be completely and totally honest. You are going to have to lay everything bare. And if you want deliverance, hear me, if you want deliverance for the things that have been dwelling inside you for all of these years, truth must be the centerpiece of everything that you write. Every word in I Wish I Were My Father's Son has to be based on truth. And so, of course, I was afraid because there were things that had happened to me and things that went on in my life that I myself was afraid to take a look at. For example, when I started to write the book, 2 years or 3 years into writing the book, I got to a part in my memory where this traumatic thing had happened to me. And I was frightened. Literally, in my own house with my family, I was literally frightened to write it down on the paper and start typing it on the computer. So that very day that I started those memories and those things that came flooded back to me, I ended up at that very hour putting the pen on the table, turning the computer off after I'd saved all of my work, walking out of the office, and I did not return back to the book for 3 years.
Wow.
I didn't go back to the book for 3 years because that's how terrified I was, because I had to face that these things that are in my mind, or maybe I just dreamed about or whatever, that to find that they actually happened. And so the beauty of all of that, and the beauty of our God, the beauty of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, is He strengthened me and healed me in those things that I was afraid to reveal and afraid of putting out there. And when He strengthened me, healed me, loved me, and revealed everything through His word in my thoughts, then 3 years later I was able to come back and literally finish the book.
Wow. Wow, that's amazing. That's amazing.
I mean,
how was the reception of your family?
Well, a lot of my family has not seen it yet. I have hired a marketing team and so forth and so on. So a lot of the work that I've done in this book, and a lot of things that I'm doing around the country, actually, and around the different cities, is I'm going right around my family because that's how the Lord has me going. Because one of the things you want to understand is you can't, like, if someone invites me to talk about the book, I can go in and talk about the book because it's my thoughts, my memories, what God has given me. When I go to talk to my family, it's a whole different ball game because then they are involved, and it takes more of a conversation with your family than it does with people that you don't know. So the beauty of writing is that you must be honest. The second thing about writing is you must be courageous, because you're going to run into your family and they are going to wonder, like most African-American families when I was growing up, there were certain things that happened you didn't talk about. You did not put anything that
right.
happened inside that house or situations that dealt with that particular family in the street. Some of those people in my family are still alive. And so when you do these things, a lot of times they can take that as betrayal. So you have to be very careful. You have to allow the Lord to move you, and you have to go around them as they prepare. You're not running from them, understand, but you're going around the situation that gives them an opportunity to start absorbing what's going to confront them when we meet each other and talk about this book. And so, of course, As anybody who loves their family, you're going to be concerned about what they think about what you have written. But nevertheless, the courage that God will give you, or the courageousness that God will lay upon you in these things, in these endeavors that He calls you, that will free you, is the fact that you know it's the truth. It's the truth, not your truth, not somebody else's truth, but simply the truth.
Wow. Wow. You know, with with that, have you, what are the different stages? Like if someone else were feeling like, I guess, feeling that calling to do the same thing that you've done and write a book, and God is encouraging them to do the same, because, you know, we, one of the things about it, we don't want to make sure we put it out, because we want to put it out there, but we don't want to give too much away about your book. We want people to go out there and get it. What would you say to them? What steps do they need to take?
What I would, thank you so much. Thank you so much, Gregory, because that's one of the things that I thank God for you, because one of the things that I had a conversation with someone today who actually called me because it's been impressed upon them to actually start writing a book and do things. They think that they have a book in them. And I'm going to tell you, the first thing that you want to do before you pick the pen up in your hand or before you get on your computer is to consult God. Please, I'm telling you, anybody, if you are going to do this thing and it's going to be something that you have to go inside of yourself to do, I would always say to you to consult God and get on your face. You hear what I'm saying here tonight? Get before God, get on your face and pray. Hear from God as to how he wants you to approach this situation. And if you do that, number one, God is going to speak to you and tell you if it's your time or not. Again, like I told you, I've been trying to get this book written for 8 years. And so he will allow you, he will let you know when it's your time. Secondly, be prepared to tell the truth and nothing but the truth. And you are going to lay one pen to the paper or one finger to the computer to start writing. Make sure that you are willing to pay the cost. And what I mean by that is make sure that you are willing to lay it all out there. If you are not willing, to be honest, and if you are not willing to lay it out there and to lay yourself bare before God and the people, then don't start writing. That's not something that you should do. Why? Because you're not ready. And there's no harm in that even. Let me tell you why. There's no harm in not being ready. I told you what I did. I ran away from it for 3 years. I just wasn't ready to admit to certain things that I had to write in order to make this book what it is, to make it honest, to make it true. And so I wasn't ready at that time. So God had to take me back in, strengthen me, love me, encourage me, take away the fear of what I was feeling, and then bring me back to the table, strengthened, renewed, and ready to go to the next level.
Wow. You know, with that, I want to go to this next song. Are you with me for the hour?
I am with you for the hour.
Okay, cool. One thing, first of all, I want to say, again, you guys are listening to the Hard Love Radio Show. I have with me none other than extraordinary and gifted Bishop Eddie Arthur Sloan Sr., author of I Wish I Were My Father's Son. And the number here is 646-595-4311. I know some of you guys might probably have questions that you're either going to ask during the show, or you might want to email me and then ask me. But either way, make sure you guys get your questions ready. We're going to go to Tamla Mann with Back in the Day Praise, and we'll be right back.
Praise goes higher. I want to give them back in the day.
Guys, I hope you guys enjoyed that. Again, that was Tamla Mann, Back in the Day Praise. You know, sometimes you had to go back. You had to praise God the way you did back in the days when we didn't have technology and all those different things. But, you're giving us some meat. Bishop. You know, let me ask you a question before we even go to that meat you're talking about, you're sharing. I'll ask you that question off air. Some questions you ask first.
Okay.
But I want to ask you, first of all, you're talking about praying for guidance, getting God's lead, and you're talking about being prepared to tell the truth. Are there any more nuggets of wisdom that you would like to tell people that they need to do? Like step three, do you have a step three, what they need to do? And if they're actually feeling like they're supposed to be writing a book as well.
Well, I simply think that step three, after you've prayed, after you've gotten God's permission, and I mean that sincerely. Let me explain something to you, Gregory. One of the things that I love about God is that the Word says that God will not withhold any good thing from us. God knew that me writing this book, I Wish I Were My Father's Son, was going to be good for me. You understand? It was going to be good for me. It was going to deliver me and free me from some serious bondage, some serious hurt, and some harm that had been done. And God knew that it would free me. So once I got permission, understanding that God knew it would free me and deliver me from some things, the third step is to start writing. You already know that you are to be honest. There's no use in writing and just writing so that the populace will like you. You have to write honesty and truth. And if you do that, the populace will love you. Here's the issue. The third step in answering your question is to just start writing. Here's a sidebar for you. We have seen so much of what the world has to offer in its writings. And a lot of that stuff is full of salaciousness, sex, and gratuitous curse words and violence. If you go the route that God has set for you, they will get the same point. Both the world and the church will get the same point from you, and you will be able to tell it as God has said, tell it. We have to also come to an understanding in writing. And being pure about our writing, not saying that we're pure, I'm saying being pure about the things that God is giving us to write. Understanding that you can't be looking for anything that anybody else has written. So I'm going to say this to you, so to speak. Moses is dead, Joshua is alive. God said to Joshua when he was getting ready to take him on the next leg of the journey, he said, listen, my servant Moses is dead. I'm going to leave that right there. As soon as the word dead came out of his mouth, Joshua understood that, okay, I'm the leader, I'm in charge, it's time for me to do something new. This book, I Wish I Were My Father's Son, was essentially allaying these bondages and these things that held me, these weights that held me down to the grave where they belong. They're dead. And so I'm now walking in Joshua's footsteps in freedom from the next level or the next leg of the journey that God has for me. So those are the things that you must really deeply and sincerely concern yourself with. And that's why I said number one is to seek God. Get on your face and seek God and see if this is for you. Writing a book is not for everyone. And so you must have those steps. And this is only my opinion, mind you. But I base my opinions on my relationship with God and how God moved me. And so that's what I would say. Number three, start writing.
That's a good one. You know, I know sometimes the hardest thing for someone is just getting started. It's like, where do I begin? How do I get to this place? I know what I want to say. And I guess that you probably felt that freedom as you were writing. You probably felt things fall off as you were writing.
Well, one of the things, and you're absolutely right, I did. I started feeling that freedom. One of the things that will immediately leave you when God gets involved is the fear of anyone else wanting to dispute with you is the fear of, can I do this? And the fear of low self-esteem, telling yourself, well, who am I to write a book? Who am I to stand in this place that God has prepared for me? Who am I? And what I had to do was say, my name is Eddie Arthur Sloan, called by the Lord Jesus Christ to do what I do. That's who I am. I didn't have to tell that to people. I had to tell that to me, Gregory, to me. And once I was able to tell myself who I actually was, then I could begin. Because fear will prevent you from writing a book like I Wish I Were My Father's Son. First of all, because you're not going to understand it. People have asked me, well, why did you use that title? I use that title because it has been a desire of mine since the day I was born, wanting to truly and honestly be my father's son. And God flipped that script on me, even in the writing, and giving me the title that he said, your father may not have seen that much of a father to you, but you had a father. You were not a bastard by any means of the word. You had me. I was always your father. And so these are things that helped me and encouraged me in writing these books, because this title says exactly what I mean. I wish I were my father's son. I wish that I was. He is dead now and not able to hear me say these things. So I had to be delivered from those things by God in order to move on, because knowing that he'd never be able to hear me say this. So my desire was to be my father's son.
Wow. You know, I have to say that is something that's like really, 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 really hits home. You know, having to remind yourself of who you are, even is not just for people, but for yourself.
It is extremely important, sir, that we get to the point that we recognize who we are, and not just recognize, because, you know, once you've gotten to the part that you recognize who you are, then you have to start loving it. You have to start enjoying who you are. You have to understand that there's honor. Let me tell you something. There's honor in Eddie Sloan Sr. being the son of Eddie Arthur Williams Sr. You know, there's honor in that. You know, didn't marry my mother or none of that other stuff, but there's still honor, because when I look at what I've been able to accomplish, how my children are going through school, never had to go to the jailhouse, never had to do anything, and my wife and I have been able to raise our family and give them a sense of respectability and honor and integrity. So when I look at that, at the end of the day, there would be none of that if Eddie Arthur Williams was not chosen by God to be my father.
I have to say this. That's a very you're very transparent with your book. And like I say, I can identify, you know, like you said, you know, wasn't a bad child. You know, my father was in my life. And at first, you know, I expected a little bit more from him when I was growing up. Then once you become older and you realize how life is, you just understand sometimes that some things might not happen the way you actually want them to happen, you know? And even if you don't grow up with them in the same household, you begin to understand that, you know, you do have some of those characteristics, you know?
Well that is absolutely true. The thing about it is, I was walking around with a whole lot of hate in me, a whole lot of anger in me for this man who I felt abandoned his children, and I did some things to that really did some irreversible things in our relationship based on my anger and based on what I missed out on or what I felt that he should have been in my life. But in 2005, at 4:35 p.m. on a Friday night, God said to me that you have to forgive your father. Notice that I remember the day and the time. that God spoke to me about this thing here. He said to me, son, you have to forgive your father and this other person, or I cannot forgive you. And then he said to me, your father was the only kind of father to you that he knew how to be. You know what that forced me to do? It forced me to look past my anger in him and to find out just a little bit more of his upbringing. And I called a cousin of mine who knew more than I did. And when she began to give me the story, I'm trying not to break down crying now, man, but it is something else when someone tells you what has happened to someone in your life and things that was not of their doing that caused them pain and the things that he went through. It breaks my heart even now. And so I had to write this book to show him honor, to give honor to his memory, because I now understand why he was the way he was and what had happened to him. I now understand it. And so I still have that desire, but I feel better now because of the fact that I know I am his son and I can honor him like a son.
Wow. Well, what I can say is that is amazing. That is amazing because I think that you're definitely reaching people and you're definitely talking to people and what they've been probably going through and experiencing in their lives. So, I just want to say thank you. We're not done yet.
Yes, sir.
I have a couple more questions to ask you. We're going to go to this next artist. Her name is Teresa Pinkney with Silent Praise. And you guys, those who are just tuning in, I'm your host, G. Wright. You're listening to the Hard Love Radio Show, and I have with me none other than the extraordinary, talented, gifted bishop and author, Eddie Arthur Sloan Sr., and we'll be right back.
listening to my grandson, G. Wright. Enjoy the show.
You know, that's my grandmother. She went to be with the Lord last year, but one of my friends like, why do you keep on playing that? You know, I'm like, look, I love to hear my grandmother's voice. I'm my grandmother's baby boy, you know, so I love her, I miss her, so I play it.
That's right.
I play it. You know, I'm glad you're here with me today. If you guys are just tuning in, I have with me none other than the fantastic Bishop and author, Eddie Arthur Sloan Sr., author of I Wish I Were My Father's Son. And you've given us some really good nuggets to really think about today. Because, you know, I think it takes a lot of courage, first of all, to step out on faith and doing what you're doing. And especially when God's doing something that's new and that's fresh and that makes you vulnerable, but you're being sold out to Him, it kills anything about wanting to try to, what's the word?
Turn back.
Turn back or please people because you're focusing on what God is doing and the way He's leading you. So I commend you on that.
Thank you so much. Go ahead. I'm sorry, sir.
You go ahead.
I was going to say one of the things that while I was writing the book, I Wish I Were My Father's Son, that that was deep inside of me. And I was like, Lord, well, who am I going to take this to? And I asked God, I said, you know, God, I'm not, I said, God, you put me in this arena with all of these well-known people. You got T.D. Jakes writing books all over everybody, all these well-known people. And I said, God, you put me smack dead in the middle of this. Nobody knows who I am. How am I going? Who am I going to take this to? And that was a fear of mine. And you know why it was a fear? I realized that when I was growing up, if you were doing something, the church was the first place where you went to get known about it. The church was where you could go, and the preachers, the deacons, the mothers in the church, the people would support you. And it's really unfortunate, and I don't want to generalize, but it's really unfortunate that the majority of ministries out here today and the church in general will not do that. If you are not a part of who they are or this one or that one or this one, despite that whatever you're doing might help their people, they will not accept you. And so I asked God, I said, where do I take I Wish I Were My Father's Son? Who do I take it to? And I found that I had to get out there to struggle and just claw my way and go right past the church because they had no doors open for me.
Wow.
They had no doors open for I Wish I Were My Father's Son. So I had to go right to the world, and they embraced it immediately. Could I read something that I received just this morning?
Sure.
It says, this is from Mr. Ogle Matthew, and it reads like this. It says, good morning, Mr. Sloan. I hope all is well. He goes into talking about some dates that they are doing, like March the 13th. They're having some seminars and whatnot. And he said, my school is having a career day. This will be doing our ELA classes. I wanted to know if you would be able to attend and speak on your role as an author. I recently purchased and started to read your book, I Wish I Were My Father's Son. Let me say that already I am captivated. It has captivated me, and I truly believe that your story can encourage and motivate our students to pursue their dreams despite the obstacles in their lives. Please let me know if you are available to come. Sincerely, Matthew Ogle. And it says he's from the Queens United Middle School in New York, Queens, New York. Now, these are the people that call on me. These are the people that want me to come. I've had people who don't even go to church, and they're like, your book is really touching me. Can you come and talk to us? And the sad part about it is the church will have no doors open. And that's not a generalization of all churches, but the ones that I've ran into, nope, we don't know you. You can't come in here. It's gone are the days where the church would receive something that would help young people and young men and women to grow above their circumstances.
Mm. You know, I'm glad you said that because even as an artist, even as a gospel artist, I was like, Lord, how are you going to get me out there? You know, people don't know you, and I've been some places where I've been around, I've, you know, since I'm a singer, artist, you know, I've been some places where I've seen people who are well-known gospel artists, and if they don't know you, they're not talking to you. If they feel that you're someone, then they talk to you. And you know, it's kind of sad because, you know, end up realizing, you know, I've been supporting these people by their music, and that's how, is that what we've become? Where we can't say, you know what, let me embrace, you know, you might not be T.D. Jakes. Your message is different. Your message is different. You are Eddie Sloan. Perhaps he's trying to be like you, you know?
That's right. You know? And that is the beauty of who we are in this world, and when God has called you to do a hard thing. I wish I were my father's son, the writing of it, the living of it, the declaring of it, the honor of it, the love of it has taught me that the struggle is real. And sometimes the biggest struggles that you will have are against those things that you thought you would never have to struggle against. Against those entities, those institutions that you thought would embrace you, they hand you your biggest fights and your biggest struggles. And there's only one or two things for you to do. You can say the church won't accept me, or they won't accept these, or these churches have closed their doors and they don't want me because they don't know me. And you can say, okay, right then and there, I quit. Or you can go right around them and do what God told you to do, because God gave me a message a few years back. He said, son, don't worry about who knows you and who doesn't know you. He said, because pretty soon everybody will know you. And that's what I grabbed onto and held onto. You've got to do the thing that God has called you to do. God called me to write this book. And so there are people waiting to hear what I have to say in it.
Mm. Well, you've got to do what God has called you to do.
You've got to. It's no ifs, ands, or what about it.
You know, I agree. You know, I agree with you, and you know, I'm taking my notes. Look, as you're writing, as you're talking, I'm taking notes on my notepad. And you know, my stomach's been hurting all day. But I got to tell you this. I'm taking notes. You hear me? I'm taking notes already. You don't have to say anything. You and I know. So I'm taking notes already. And
amen.
And one of the things about it is that I feel that that's where we are. I feel that we're in a place where God's like, let's stop. You know, I've called you to do this. You know it. Pick up your pen. Sit down and write. Pick up your pen. Let's face some of these demons. Let's face some of these things you've gone through. Let's help someone else. Whatever he's called us to do, you know, I believe he's telling us, this is the time now. Let's go ahead and do it.
The plain question is right there before us. Either we're going to live or die. Either we're going to go after our dreams or hide off into the corner, scared. Rejection is not always a bad thing. Rejection is something that motivates you to move even further, because I think one of the things that I've always been as a kid, the minute you tell me I can't do something, my thought is, well, I'm going to show you, and I am going to do it. So
yeah.
Go ahead, slam your door in my face. It isn't going to stop me. from doing what God has told me to do, not because of my own merits, but if God said it, then that settles it for me. If God said write it, he's going to make a way for me to, let's be real, sell it. Not only sell it financially, but sell it in the sense that here's what God brought me through. If he can bring me through it, he can bring you through it. Come on, let's go, let's move. And so I wish I were my father's son is a desire that I had, a desire that was fulfilled because I realized he is my father, and I know that I take strength from who he was and what he left me so that nobody can stop my dream from happening but me.
Can stop it but you.
But me. But me. That's what we must realize. It's more than just a book. And again, I'll say this again to the listening audience. You know, I know we haven't had a lot of questions or whatnot, but if you replay this, somebody will hear it. And one of the things that we need to understand is this, is that the enemy would like for us to quit. The enemy would like for us to just say, okay, when the church, who's supposed to help each other, don't do that, how can you sell your books? Because Jesus came down to earth and he told the Pharisees, he said, I'm not coming to heal you guys because you guys are already supposed to be healed. I'm coming to take care of the sick. So I'm going to have to move this book to the people who really need it, since the church don't apparently need it. And you move on, and you keep going. You have to. Otherwise, what are you going to tell God when you meet him face to face and you fulfill none of your destinies or dreams? That they wouldn't let you do it? Shut up. That isn't going to make a hill of beans. You got to go out there and you got to work. You've got to endure the struggle because, again, G, you may not know me now. And next time I get on some book on the phone with you, you ain't going to be able to have enough phone lines to keep people on it.
Right.
Because these are the things that God has promised. And when you believe these kinds of things, any audience that you get that you're able to understand and let them know who God really is and what he's doing in your life is a blessing.
And you know, well, you know, I want to say this. I want to say, first of all, I'm grateful that you did not allow, you know, as far as people, whether or not they know you or they would know you, to stand your way. You know, when I said the thing about Bishop T.D. Jakes, you know, the thing about it is that we're all, God has a purpose and plan for all of us. So I'm glad you didn't compare yourself. You said, let me go ahead and do the thing that God's called me to do. And God's going to do what he's going to do. He's going to use you to touch and heal a lot of people, heal millions, we'll say nations. And, you know, and what God has for you is for you, as long as you are willing to step out and do that part. And that's what you've done. So my question for you today is, what's next? Are you going to travel around the country from your book?
Well, what's next for me, what's in line next is a radio program. In the immediate future, I have already started writing my second book. And I'm going to be brave enough to even give you this. The second book is going to be entitled How Did the Wolves Get In?
Ooh.
Be looking for that. It's going to cover some of the things that we just talked about. I'm going to be talking about how the wolves actually got in.
Wow.
The Lord is not wasting any time with me, and I'm not going to waste God's time, and I'm not going to waste the time that he has given me, G, to do what we need to do. The calling that we have on our life, the both of us, is far beyond anything that we can imagine. It's us having the tenacity and the temerity to say, yes, Lord, I accept it, and then go out there and endure the struggle and get it done.
We're going to have to do a session. We're going to do a part two session. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, I love
it. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You know, but I want you, like I told you, I have my notes right here. You know, I'm ready.
Yes, sir.
But you know what? I know that your story and what you're saying is touching the hearts of many people, because many people will download this and many people will listen to it. But before we leave, can you tell them where they can find the book?
Yes. You can find I Wish I Were My Father's Son at createspace.com, or you can also get it at amazon.com. Now, might want to use CreateSpace for now, because I was told by my marketing team that Amazon didn't have any more.
Wow.
So
you know what?
It's moving.
I'm gonna purchase my book when I see you Saturday.
Amen. Amen. I got it for you, sir.
Okay. Wow. You know what? I cannot wait to read I Wish I Were My Father's Son. I
bless
cannot
your
wait.
Heart, man.
I just pray God's blessings over you and your family as you step out and as they support you in your stepping out and what God has given you to share with people. And this is your testimony. I just want to say thank you and God bless you. Thank you for coming on the radio show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. It was my pleasure. Thank you so much for all of your support, G. I really appreciate it. Thank you for being the friend that you are. God bless you so much. I appreciate it.
God bless you, too. Do you have any word, any more? You've given the people so many nuggets. Do you have any more nuggets to share?
What I will say before we leave to you all out there listening is don't be afraid to step out. Your stepping out is going to deliver you and free you from so many things. Don't let the devil take away your dreams because you're afraid to step out.
Mm. Well, you said that right there. God bless you, Bishop Eddie Arthur Sloan, senior author of
I Wish I
Were My Father's Son.
Amen. God bless you so much. Bye-bye, everybody.
And, you guys, we're going to have him on the show really, really soon again. I'm going to leave you guys with this next artist, and I hope that this artist will touch your heart, will touch your soul. And this artist is none other than my cousin, Eureka Wright, with Thank You, Lord. God bless you. I'm your host, G. Wright. I will see you again next week, next Tuesday, 9:10. God bless.